Well, if you're able, you can go ahead and grab a seat. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, prayer changes lives. Prayer changes lives. So we always like taking time for prayer when we get together. Thank you, Lord. Well, we can go ahead and open the word this morning as ministry takes place in front of us. We can do two things at once, can't we? All right, if you brought your Bibles, open with me to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. And the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, is a great place to start. If you want to know a great place to start in reading the Bible, if you have not opened a Bible to read it, or maybe you haven't read your Bible in a long time, and you kind of find yourself just kind of flipping open and going, where should I read? The Gospel of Mark is a beautiful place to start. Most people tell you to go to the Gospel of John, which is a beautiful book as well. But Mark is great because Mark is the shortest of the Gospels, so if you're not a big reader, it's the shortest one. It's easy to get through. The Gospel of Mark is action-packed. It goes from one miracle story to another story of Jesus to another. It kind of gets rid of a lot of the extra peripherals that the other Gospels have, and it gets right to the heart of the matter. And Mark portrays a focus on Jesus that I really appreciate. So we're going to look at something in Mark, and it might be something, a passage you've probably read before, heard before, but I want you to believe that you're going to see something new in this. You know, you can read the Bible, and you can read a passage over and over and over again. You can think that you've come to know all that there is to know about God through that passage, and then you read it for the fifth or the 50th time, and you see something new. Has that ever happened to anybody? It's like being with someone. It's like being with, you know, say with your husband or wife, right? You've known them. You've been married for 10, 20, 50 years. And all of the sudden, they do something or say something, and you're like, where did that come from? Anybody ever experienced this? Anybody? Anybody? Three people have learned about their spouses since they've gotten married. Okay, wonderful. Yeah, you see something new and they say something and you're like, wow, I didn't know that you had it in you to say it like that or had that perspective. You see a new side of someone, and that is actually the moment when your relationship grows just a little bit more. When you get to know somebody, see, this is how relationships work. The more that you get to know somebody, the more that you can fall in love with them. Because you begin to appreciate them for who they are. And the same thing happens with God. Every time you find out something new about him, you see a new side of him, you go, wow, God, I didn't know that about you. And it causes you to fall in love with him all over again. And that's my very favorite thing about reading the Bible, is seeing something in a new light and seeing how that changes my perspective of God. Because it draws me closer to him. So you're going to hear something that you've probably heard before, but I hope that you will see it with a new perspective as we look here in the Gospel of Mark. I'm going to give you the title of my message before I preach it, and the title of my message is so powerful, I might not have to preach the rest of the message. Is that good? I mean, there might be so much excitement in the room once I tell you the title of my message that you will not be able to contain yourself. And I won't be able to preach because you're just going to be shouting and hollering for the next 30 minutes. You ready for it? Now you're all thinking, should I respond to this or should I just do nothing? Here's the title of my message: All Things Are Possible. All things are possible. All things. All things are possible. There is nothing that is impossible. I've said this before and I'll say it again. The word impossible should be stricken from the vocabulary of a child of God. Because all things are possible. So, Mark chapter 9. We're going to start reading in verse 14. If you don't have your Bible, this will be up on the screen. And when they, which was Jesus and a few of other disciples, when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, what are you arguing about? Did you know that you cannot hide an argument from Jesus? I mean, Jesus wasn't even there. He didn't hear the argument happen. He was just walking towards them, and he knows what's happening. And finally, when Jesus gets close enough, the disciples see him. They kind of break away, and they, oh, Jesus, it's so good to see you. We're so happy that you're here. We didn't know that you'd be coming by this way today, but we're so happy that you're here. So good to see you. Jesus says, so what are you arguing about? And the disciples say nothing. They don't even respond. Somebody else has to speak up from the crowd. The disciples hesitate. Do you know why we hesitate to be honest with Jesus? Because we don't believe that all things are possible. So we're worried when we tell him what's going on in our lives that he won't be able to do anything about it. And so we hesitate, and the disciples hesitated, but somebody else spoke up. Verse 17, and someone from the crowd answered him, Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able. Somebody say, uh-oh. Now we know why the disciples didn't want to tell Jesus what was going on. They're embarrassed. Because this man brought his son to look for Jesus. They said, well, Jesus is not here, but they must have said something like this, don't worry, because he has already commissioned us to go and lay hands on the sick and cast out demons. And we read that in the other Gospels, that Jesus actually commissioned his disciples. He laid his hands on them and said that they could go out and do the same works that he did. And so they obviously tried praying over this boy, setting him free, casting out this demon, and they had no success. So now they're embarrassed. They don't want Jesus to know what's going on here, because I imagine, at least if I were them, I'm beginning to wonder, what is wrong with me? You know, is there sin in my life? Did I do something wrong? Did the authority that you gave me, is that expired now? And so the disciples don't say anything. So let's continue. Verse 19. He answered them, O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me. And they brought the boy to him, and when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Notice that when the evil spirit sees Jesus, he attacks the boy. Why is that? Pastor Joe already told us this morning, when you see chaos in your life and attacks from the enemy, it's because he's trying to stop something good from happening to you. Notice this. It's when this evil spirit sees Jesus coming towards him that he manifests himself. This is how the enemy works. Don't be surprised if you see the enemy start bringing an all-out attack on you and your family and your business and your life. Why does he do that? Because he wants to scare you. Number one agenda of the enemy, he wants to scare you. He wants you to be afraid. Why? Because he can't actually do anything to you aside from you fearing him. He wants you to be afraid. He wants you to be afraid that you won't have enough money to pay the bills. He wants you to be afraid that your family is never going to get back together because of all the bad things that you've done, and so your wife's never going to forgive you, and your kids are never going to forget. And he wants to put fear on you that things are never going to change. So the enemy will suggest things like, well, that's impossible. That's impossible. Well, excuse me for beating Jesus to the punchline this morning, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you that all things are possible. All things are possible. So, the Spirit manifests himself, tries to put on a show of what he can do to this boy. Let's continue, verse 21. And Jesus asked the Father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And it has often cast him into the fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. All right, now I'm going to let Jesus say it himself. And Jesus said to him, if you can, excuse me, sir, did you just say if you can? You hear a little bit of attitude in Jesus' voice? He says, all things are possible for one who believes. All things are possible for one who believes. See, this man had evidently heard something to suggest that Jesus could heal his son. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been there. He wouldn't have been searching Jesus out. So this father had some degree of hope inside him that Jesus could do something for his son, and he had some level of faith to suggest that he had faith. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been there. This father's been hearing something. He's tracked them down, speaks to Jesus, and what does Jesus do? Jesus exposes in the father where he's at. Jesus is very good at this. He says, if you can. Have you ever said something to God and he repeats it back to you with a question mark? Like, did you just hear what you just said? What Jesus does is he holds up a mirror to let you see who you are. You know what that's called? Conviction. What is conviction? Conviction is God revealing in you where you are. Now, what we often do with conviction is we turn it into guilt and self-condemnation, and God's not happy with me, and God's angry with me, and I must not have a good future, and we start beating ourselves up. But that's not what God's trying to do. God is revealing. He's showing you a mirror, and he's letting you see where you're at, not to discourage you, not to put you down, but because if you don't see where you are, you're never going to change and get to where God wants you to be. In order for God to let you bring change in your life, you need to know where you are. And the only way that anyone changes is by getting uncomfortable with where they are. You know why you're sitting where you're sitting today? Because at some point in time, it might not have been this morning, but at some season of your life, you decided that you were uncomfortable sitting at home and not being in this place, worshiping the Lord with brothers and sisters in Christ. Your discomfort of thinking my life without the body of Christ is going to draw me to now I'm going to be a person who attends church. I'm going to go to a worship service because that brings value to my life. Every decision that you make is based on being uncomfortable with where you're at. And nobody likes being uncomfortable, but that is what conviction is. It brings you an awareness. This is where I am. Things need to change. So he holds up a mirror to this father. This is where you're at, sir. You are at a place of very little faith because you don't even believe that I can heal your son. So he gives him a little nudge. He says, all things are possible for one who believes. God wants to see change in you, not because he doesn't love you the way that you are, but because he loves you too much to leave you that way. People say, well, God loves me just the way that I am. Sure he does. Sure he does. He loves you so much that it grieves him to see you not change and get better because he sees good things for you. Here's what happens. We see God expose something in us that we know isn't right, isn't good, isn't perfect. We hear God calling us to change, calling us deeper into trusting him. And so many times we say, yeah, but I've always been this way. I've always been this way. I've always had the struggle. I've always just, this is how my father was. This is how my mother was. This is how their parents were. This is just my personality. I mean, I can't change that, God. Because this is how I've always been. I've prayed, I've had hands laid on me, and this has never changed. I've never received my healing. I've never been set free of this addiction. I've always been short-tempered. So thank you very much, Jesus, for showing up. But I think that this is just how I am and how I'm going to be. And most of us live with that expectation. We push all of our fears and disappointments and frustrations onto God. Now, we know better than to blame God. Right? We know better than to blame God and to say, well, God, it's your fault. But we don't see anything really changing. And so we just find different ways of making excuses to not change and stay the same. And I'm here to just shake you out of that this morning. All things are possible. I'm going to say that so many times, you're going to wake up in your sleep in the middle of the night. All things are possible. You're going to wake up from your Sunday afternoon nap saying, all things are possible. As long as the nap isn't Sunday morning while you're sitting here, we're all good. You say, yeah, but I've had problems with my knee since before I could remember. I've had a problem dealing with conflict my whole life. I've always had a problem opening up to others and trusting people. That's just who I am. I've had this diagnosis since I was a boy. I've had a bad back since I was in my 20s. I've had diabetes for so long. I mean, healing would be nice, but I've just come to expect that this medication is a part of the rest of my life. I've come to expect the pain when I wake up in the morning. Don't we develop faith for sickness? I expect pain to be there because my back hurt me yesterday. So in the morning, I go, oh, how's my back? I look for the pain because you've developed faith for it. We come to settle and say, well, things might not change here on the earth, but at least I can wait and everything will change once I go to heaven to be with Jesus. Can I just tell you that you don't need to wait until you die and go to heaven to be with Jesus, because Jesus came to earth and died for you? That's kind of the point of the cross. That's sarcasm, by the way. That is the point of the cross. Is that you don't have to wait. Jesus said this, I came that they may have life and life in abundance to the full till it overflows. Not one day, now. So God's goal is that you would enjoy your life today. Well, I'm going to enjoy myself this morning. Jesus turns to this father, and this father whose son is not just sick like most of us know sickness. He has an evil spirit that is tormenting him and causing him to have seizures and at times is tried to kill him. And Jesus looks at this father and he doesn't just say, with God, all things are possible. That would be nice, right? With God, all things are possible. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, all things are possible for one who believes. What does Jesus do? Jesus puts the ball back in his court. We don't like this. Jesus, we approach Jesus and we bring Jesus our problems, right? Here you go, Jesus. Here you go. We just build up our big snowball. Just keeps getting bigger and bigger. Here you go, Jesus. Here you go. Can you take care of this for me? Really appreciate it. If you could do something about this, I'd really appreciate it. And he pushes it back in your direction and says, if you believe me, then I'll do it. We're like, no, you take it. No, you take it. No, you take it. No, you take it. Jesus just puts the ball back in his court. Says, if I can, if as long as that is your attitude towards God, God ain't doing nothing. Jesus says, all things are possible. I can do anything, but I want you to believe it. Because everything in our spiritual walk comes from faith. Absolutely everything must come from a place of faith. All right, verse 24. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. I want you to notice, I see these little things here, and I got to point these out. Verse 25, when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, why did Jesus all of a sudden act before the crowd was assembled? Because unlike most human beings, Jesus' care for the individual means that he doesn't want to make this boy a spectacle for all to see. This is not about spiritual hype. Everybody gather around and let's see. Let's see what happens. Oh, there's a demonic manifestation over here. Let's see what happens. See, this is what people want to do. We want to draw our attention to things. And Jesus loves the boy so much that he wants to see him set free before anybody comes around to see. This has nothing to do with my sermon, but I just think that that's a beautiful thing about God that you can learn. Right there, Jesus' heart for you is not to see your sin exposed and put on the front page of the paper. When God deals with you, it's because he wants to deal with you in the privacy of your own heart. Isn't God good? He doesn't hang your issues out on the clothesline for your neighbors to see. He comes to you. He's a good God. Beautiful story. Jesus invites this man into a deeper level of faith, and this man takes a step. He admits that he has faith. He says, okay, Jesus, I believe, but help my unbelief. So there's nothing wrong with admitting that you don't have 100% faith. Okay? Nothing wrong with admitting that. That's exactly what this man does. I believe, but sometimes I have trouble believing. Jesus says, I can use that. I can use that faith. And he sets the boy free. All right, now there's two more verses we have to read in the story. And if you don't pay attention to the entirety of the story, you will lose focus and you will forget the message that we've just read. So I want us to read these next two verses very carefully. Verse 28. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? Good question, don't you think? Hey, Jesus, why didn't that work for us? And he said to them, this kind of spirit cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. Some of your translations might say what mine says in my footnote. It says, and fasting. This kind of demon cannot be driven out by anything but prayer and fasting. Odd way to end a story, don't you think? Now, most people, if you're like me, you've read this passage before and you've gotten to the end and you thought, well, there it is. I mean, we figured out the key. The key is, you just, you know, there's more prayer involved in certain levels of demonic activity or certain circumstances in life just require more prayer. There's a correlation between prayer and results, and so I've got to pray more in order to get more results. And what can happen if you're not careful is you will build a systematic theology based on these two verses that are completely unbiblical and unscriptural. Because what will start happening in your thinking is you'll start thinking that there's this hierarchy and there's some demons that you could probably handle yourself based on, you know, just kind of praying for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. You could probably handle like the little demons. But if you want to get into the bigger demons, you're going to have to up your prayer life to about 5-10 minutes every day on top of the meals. And then if you want to deal with the big guys, you got to do a couple hours a day. You understand where this goes, right? Where you start thinking that there's this hierarchy where, no, okay, well, I've got to do this. I've got to pray more in order to see more results. And this develops a strange thinking. So I want to help us see what Jesus is teaching here. Core theology for the Christian life is Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. It says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. You cannot attribute any credit to your works in terms of seeing God move. Oh, you know why God answered my prayer? Because I pray longer than you. That's where this leads if you don't understand it. You know why God gave me that blessing? You know why God gave me a new car and you're still driving your old car? Because I pray more than you. This passage is not about prayer. This passage is about faith. Jesus says, all things are possible to those who believe. All things. All things. Not all things are possible to people who pray 10 minutes a day, 20 minutes a day, 3 hours a day, 5 hours a day. Well, some things, you know what? Really, Jesus should have said some things are possible to those who pray for a certain amount of time a day. But really, if you want all things to be possible, you have to pray for 24 hours a day. You need to stop sleeping. Just pray all the time. Jesus doesn't say that. What is Jesus' rebuke? Jesus' rebuke is this. Oh, faithless generation. Faithless. 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 He was dealing with faith. He looks at the father of this boy and he says, you need to have faith. So what's the deal with this whole little side conversation with the disciples about prayer? Here's how this works. Jesus is so, he knows you so well, he deals with you differently than the person beside you. For Jesus to just continually say, every time you approach him and say, Lord, what do I need right now? You know what Jesus could say? You know what the Holy Spirit could say to you every time? You just need to have more faith in me. Because that's true. In every area of your life, if you want to see greater breakthrough, you need to trust Jesus more. You need more faith. You following me? Have more faith. Have more faith. Have more faith. All things are possible to those who believe. Have more faith. See, this, the father of this boy, he hadn't been hanging around Jesus, so he hadn't heard the faith message yet. So he gave him the very first faith message that you need. Faith 101. All things are possible to those who believe. You want to see God move in your life? Start believing him. That's the introductory message. You'll see Jesus does this so often in the scriptures. You'll see he'll speak to a crowd. He'll give a message. And then he'll go into a house with his disciples. And then he'll tell them something. He'll say, you know why I said that? Because what I really wanted to say was this. And it sounds so completely different than what Jesus just told the crowd. You see it all through scripture. And sometimes you think, well, he's giving a different message. No, it's not different. It's deeper. It's not different. It's deeper. So you want, some of you today, all you need to hear is faith lesson 101. All things are possible to those who believe. Every single thing in your life, you can see God change it, improve it, bless it. All things are possible. If you'll begin to believe him, if you'll begin to trust God with your family, everything's possible for healing in your family. Everything. There's a few families in here that need me to say that again. If you begin to believe God, trust him with your family, all things are possible with your family. There is no amount of pain and separation in your marriage that could not be restored with God. There's no kid that's too far gone. Not one. Faith lesson 101. All things are possible to those who believe. But then Jesus takes the disciples. The disciples say, what's going on here? And he could have just said the same thing. Well, you just need to have more faith. But Jesus looks at the disciples and he saw their area of greatest need. And their need was prayer. Disciples had a hard time praying. I don't know if you can relate to them. You'll find a few times in scripture where Jesus would ask his disciples to pray and they'd last a couple minutes and then they'd be checking their social media account on their iPhone. They wouldn't make it very long. So Jesus looked at them, and what do they really need? What do the disciples really need? They need more faith. Ladies and gentlemen, faith is always the answer. But Jesus looked at them and they said, you know what you need in order to up your faith? You need to up your prayer. See, some of you here this morning, that's your greatest need. In order for you to get to the next level where God is calling you to, you need to give more of yourself to prayer. But that's not my message for all of you. Because for some of you, that's not your greatest area of need. For some of you, your greatest area of need is you need to just increase your word time. You need to just read this book more and more and more. Again, we all need to read the book more. We all need to pray more, but I'm talking specifically. There is something that I'm praying this morning that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you. For some of you, your greatest area of need is actually not reading the Bible more. Now, that seems like a strange thing for your pastor to say. For some of you, your greatest area of need is not more word time. For some of you, you need less education time. And you need more action time. You've read enough books. You've heard enough sermons. You don't need to go and read another book on entrepreneurship. You just need to go and start the business. You don't need to go and read another book on healing. You just need to go and lay your hands on your uncle who's dying in the hospital. You just need to go do. Some of you in this place, you have learned enough at this season in your life. I'm not saying you stop learning. Don't misunderstand me. Your greatest need is not to read another book. Your greatest need is to go and do. And this is what I saw in this passage that I never saw about the Lord before in this way. Because the answer is always faith. But Jesus looks at you and he sees exactly what you need. So here's what we're doing this morning. I'm going to tell you the generic truth that you all need to hear, you all need to get deep inside your heart and mind. I'm going to tell you one thing, and I want us to spend some time allowing the Holy Spirit to tell us what we need to hear. Because I don't know that. The Holy Spirit hasn't revealed it to me. So I'm going to give you some time to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you this morning. Here's what I'm going to say to you. Anybody know what it is? All things are possible. All things. There's no sickness. There's no pain. There's nothing that is impossible for Jesus to come in and heal and change and turn your life around. Nothing. Now, when I say that to you, if you're listening and if you're hungry, your spirit just got excited, even if your face didn't. I'm trying to get your face excited. Some of you just won't even smile at me. That's okay. I still love you. What happens is that your spirit gets excited. All things are possible. That's my God. All things are possible. Here's what we're going to do now. Every head bowed, every eye closed in this place. And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to tell you what your greatest need is. Could be more prayer time, could be more fasting time, could be more time in the Word, could be more time worshiping, could be more time spent with your family, could be more time in your workplace, could be more time in certain relationships, could be, I don't know what it is, but guess what? I can introduce you to the one who does. His name is Jesus, and he knows what you need. So it's just going to get real quiet in this place now. It's just some music playing for us to center our hearts and say, Holy Spirit, speak to me. I'm listening. Have such a good Father, because when we ask, we receive. If you didn't feel like you had any specific instruction just in this moment, you don't walk away from this saying, well, thanks for not saying anything to me, God. You continue to carry this in your heart. And this, I want to encourage you this morning, that this becomes your go-to question until you get an answer. God, what is the greatest area of need that is in my life that will help me have more faith in you? What is the greatest area of need that I have in my life? Is it what Joe said this morning? I got to start getting up 5 minutes earlier just to spend a few minutes with you. What is it? And when you get that answer, you pursue it with absolute focus and an expectancy that when I step out and obey the voice of the Lord, all things are possible. All things are possible. No matter what you're facing right now, I wrote this down, praying over what the Lord wanted me to write down. sickness, pain in your knees, swelling in your feet, arthritis, diabetes, fibromyalgia, side effects from a concussion, cancer, depression, fear, broken marriage, and lost children. I don't know how many people that touches here today, but let me just speak over all of those issues. All things are possible. All things are possible. Come on, church, it's time to believe. All things are possible. All things are possible. People hear this kind of a message and they say, you got to be careful, pastor. Pastors, you got to be careful because you're just getting people's hopes up. Getting people's hopes up. Getting people's hopes up. I sure hope so. If I'm not getting your hopes up, then who is? What other source are we going to look to get excited and have some expectancy that we serve a God who spoke the world into existence? And so he cares about my marriage and he cares about my family. I found this quote. I didn't write it. I wrote it down, but I didn't write it without seeing somebody else wrote it down. You understand what I'm saying? I'd rather shoot for the moon and land among the stars than shoot for the gutter and make it. I am going to believe for the perfect will of God to be done in every area of my life. Because God is good and he can do it. And I trust him with my life. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every person in this room, and I thank you, Lord God, that they are leaving this place with a greater measure of faith than they came in. Not because of my words, but because of your word. Lord Jesus, your word, you told us all things are possible. And today, as an act of our faith, we are saying, we believe it. All things are possible. Speak to us, Lord. Equip us, Lord. Fill us with your spirit. Father, fill us with fresh faith and vision. And I thank you, Lord, that you'll do a work in our lives. We'll give you glory for it all the days of our lives. Thank you for it today, Lord. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen. God bless you as you go. Have a wonderful day.